I don't know. My like neurotypical brain, my neurotypical brain. I fucking wish. My neurodivergent brain.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love that it's our 2-year anniversary. We've been yapping for 2 years, baby. I took the low hanging fruit. I had to do it.
I love it.
Hi, I am Bethany. With me as always is Michael Ann. Michael Ann, how are you? We took a little hiatus because you had a dear friend in town, and also y'all just like the Southeast was, which we're going to get into here in a minute. The Southeast was just going through it. It's kind of still going through it. I don't know. I'm not sure if Florida is going to be with us or underwater soon, to be honest, but let's all give them good vibes. Global warming is a real biatch. But we are back. We are here to discuss Saint Anything. And y'all, I am obsessed with this book so far. It is so good, truly. Can't wait to dive into that. But yeah, how was your hiatus? How are things? How be life?
My hiatus was good. My friend Casey was in town. We just like sat on the couch and watched TV and ordered food, and it was very nice.
How about it was good food? I'm sure it was good food.
Yes, most of it. Well, we got burgers one night.
Sometimes you get hits and misses. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a miss. The burgers were a miss, but it didn't turn my tongue black like the burger in Sweden. So you win some, you lose some.
You really do. You really truly do. That is.
It was like food dye. I don't even know what the fuck that was. But
That was very bizarre. But you're still here to tell the tale, so I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, I'm alive, so at least there's that.
100%. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
But yeah, that was it. You went to Orlando.
I did. I was. Y'all, we had Helene came and really ravaged a good chunk of the Southeast, like I said. And I was very nervous. We had these Orlando plans, Horror Night plans for months. We had been planning this. We had friends coming in from the Midwest. It was a whole thing. And I was like, I don't know how we're all going to get there. Like, my main concern, obviously, was just safety. And I'm like a big old scaredy cat with storms. And because of that, I am like obsessed with checking the weather and like tracking storms and all that kind of stuff, because I'm a big believer that knowledge is power. And you're less afraid if you're prepared and you know things, right? So I was, when I say I was like tracking this, when I was looking into every possible meteorologist that I've ever could possibly know that was in Florida, in Georgia, and anywhere, trying to figure out what to do. But we all made it. No one's flights were delayed. Everyone made it in safely. Orlando was super fortunate in the storm. It like literally, you did not know that a hurricane had hit. So we had such a wonderful time. And then part of me felt kind of guilty because we were having like an absolutely wonderful time. And all my friends back in Savannah were like without power all weekend. And I was like, I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing. So apologies. I'm very fortunate that by the time I got back, my power had returned on. I just had to throw out some food because it had been off for most of the weekend. And as they say, when in doubt, throw it out. So I did. But yes, we were super fortunate. We had such a good time. A couple of my friends from the Midwest, I don't get to see that often. It's the first time I think I saw both of them in almost 2 years, like in person. So I was so happy just to get to spend time with them, honestly, and see some old friends from Orlando that I don't get to see often in person anymore, and show my friend Bev how Orlando does Horror Nights, because she's only ever done Hollywood. And I was like, I'm going to show you a good time in O-Town. And she loved it. She had a great time. So it was all in all a spooky time. But yeah, who knew that the scariest part of HHN was going to be like getting there? It was going to be like the world around us. When we were there, it was fine. Everything was good. We had a wonderful weekend. And in a weird way, it helps, because usually I'm a big old scaredy cat. And I think I was like the most chillaxed I've ever been at Horror Nights, because I was so wound up the day before, like with the storm and everything, that I was like, whatever. Come on with a chainsaw. Like, I don't care. It's fine. So
thanks
for that, I guess.
But yeah. Well, speaking of Helene, I think I've been calling her Helen this whole time, but
a lot of people have been, but she is Helene, I believe, technically. Yes.
Okay. Well, Helene,
We don't have to put respect behind her name because, like, screw her, you know? She really screwed things up.
She killed a lot of people this week, and it is absolutely devastating. I literally can't stop thinking about Asheville. Like, Asheville is on my mind every second of every day. So if any of our listeners were affected, we love you, and I hope everybody's okay as you can be. You know, climate change is real, so yeah, we got to do something about it. I don't know what, but quickly, please. We have some mutual aid places for y'all to donate if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. Share it. You know, we do what we can. I will post them. I've been posting a few on my stories, but I will post one on our Instagram as well that just has a bunch of things. So check that out. Help our people recover from this hurricane before the next one comes tomorrow.
Yeah.
To vote for climate justice. I don't know I don't know who in the government is actually doing anything for the climate, but somebody's got to be, right? Somebody. Yeah.
And let's all remember that, you know, they want to do away with the National Hurricane Center with Project 2025. So let's make sure that that doesn't happen, everybody, because that's terrifying. And what a weird thing to do away with. Like, why would you? I can't even fathom why you'd want to do away with that. They think we're costing too much money and trying to save people's lives and give them proper warning when a storm is about to devastate them. I don't know, maybe. But I personally am a big proponent on spending money on things that help warn people about devastating storms coming their way. But like, oh, that's just on me, I guess.
Yeah, that is, I have been going through it the past few days. I have, like, I am just enraged in, like, the deepest part of my soul, because all of this is so preventable, and all of this we can easily, maybe not easily, fix at this point, but we could have avoided this. We can avoid more of this in the future. But America's run on greed.
Yeah,
so the only thing that all the big boys in charge care about is money, which is why we're still sending weapons to Israel, who's been doing a genocide for a year now. Also, this is a pretty heavy day. Yes, it is our anniversary, but also 2 years ago today, my friend overdosed. So also my friendly reminder to test your drugs, carry Narcan on you to music festivals, to bars, like literally anywhere you don't know where you'll run into somebody who has unfortunately overdosed, and you can help save their lives. So 100%. That was all of my
jibber jabber. Emotional baggage, resources for help. Yeah, I don't know. More than usual, everyone, take care of yourselves. Again, there's lots of scary storms going on just every day. We're getting closer and closer to the election. I know everyone is stressed out. Find your horror nights. Find your, like, controlled fear. Because as a person with anxiety, I'm a big believer in that. I never really understood that, I think, before the pandemic. And then, like, I understand why people like horror now and, like, stuff like that, because I'm like, yes, there's something about knowing, like, this ends, I can control this, it's going to have a happy ending, even if, like, you know, Michael Myers always comes back or whatever. But, like, in theory, every movie, like, has a happy ending. So yeah, find whatever outlet you can to get through. And yeah, if you have anything that you can give, please give. I've been thinking a lot recently about the Tupelo Honey biscuits and how they were a fund for employees, and obviously it being, their origins are in Asheville and they're all over the state of North Carolina, which again, obviously was quite devastated in this storm. I was like, I really hope my biscuit money is going to a good cause right now. I don't know. I'm just one of the first things I thought of. And yes, so again, every bit counts. I've spent like $5 on biscuits, but maybe that's helping someone right now in need. So whatever you have, or even sharing it so someone else has eyes on it, is really helpful and awesome. And yeah, just climate change is real. That's all.
Yes. You are going to see me slowly decline into a panicked state, probably quickly, over the next little bit. So bear with me as I am living a nightmare. all around us. Anyway, I'm being so uplifting and I'm feeling good. Are you feeling good?
I'm feeling so good. And we're about to read a really uplifting book now. So
yes,
everybody get excited. Just real saying anything is just a really uplifting time.
Yeah.
What I will say in the happiness, I guess, well, yay, obviously being our anniversary, that's very exciting. Also just in, you know, kind of a, like a count your blessings sort of way. All of this, you know, can be very scary and whatnot. But, you know, first of all, as Mr. Rogers always said, look for the helpers. There are always people out there helping and stuff, whether it's, you know, Waffle House trying to stay open as best they can or so on and so forth.
The Waffle House Index.
Yes, the Waffle House Index. Yeah, there's always, you know, and in the dark, there's always light and all that jazz. Now we're gonna read some depressing books, and I'm gonna get real fired up at this mom, y'all. Like the rants I have about this mother. Like every time I think Sarah Dessen can't write a mother that makes me more enraged, she does. She's done it again, folks. She has done it again.
Can I also show you my new phone case? Pop socket combo.
I'm obsessed with it. That is a fantastic pop socket. I've been in need of a new pop socket, and now it's really making me want to get one.
There are some good ones on that site. I had this little Disney food cell phone case, and I was like, I need a pop socket. I'm like, let's just stick with the theme.
I love it. I love a theme. Themes make me very happy. Chapter 4. Okay, wait. I guess let's do a quick recap.
Chapter 5. Oh, no, chapter 4.
Yeah,
chapter 4?
It's chapter 4 and 5 this week. Because we only read 3 last week, remember? Because my time management skills were poor. Because of
okay.
Yeah, who can forget? Hashtag never forget. Also, everyone, good news. That Buck has been found not alive. And I'm sorry to his Buck family, but I'm not sorry. So you can come in my
What? Oh, the bug. The bug. Yes.
He was found unalived, thankfully. Good. So I've been able to rest a lot easier. In case anyone needed an update on that, there's your good news, everyone. The bug is no longer tormenting me. Thank you.
Love that.
That's your uplifting moment of the day. Anywho, so that's chapter 4 and chapter 5. Quick recap. Our girl Sydney is really going through it. She just started at Jackson because her brother basically drunk drove and got in an accident with, well, he ran into a, I would say pedestrian. Are you still a pedestrian if you're on a bike? I don't know. That's probably not accurate. He ran into someone who's on a bike. So obviously he is now in jail for that. Things are going interesting with her parents. Her mom is very into her brother Peyton's like legal troubles and very concerned about him. Doesn't really seem to be concerned about much else in the family. And yeah, a girl just started at Jackson High School. Woo-woo. And she's struggling a little bit. Obviously, she's going through things. But she met this lovely girl at a pizza place. We have gathered that the pizza place is kind of a family-owned business. So it's like dad, brother, her that we've met. And that pretty much catches us up to what we read in the first 3 chapters. And now we're going to read chapter 4. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Chapter 4. I read this one 2 weeks ago. So let's see
how fresh it is. I read half of it 2 weeks ago and then half of it the other day. So it's like half and half for me.
We're somewhat there.
We're somewhat there with it. Exactly.
She starts off saying that school didn't get better over the next 2 days, but it didn't get worse. So, you know, silver lining, I guess. Sure. She says, I had a few conversations, even though one of them was mandatory. She never went back to Seaside Pizza. She didn't want to look like a freak, a stalker, or both. You wouldn't have looked like any of those things.
No.
My love, be nicer to yourself. And so she meets Jen at Fraser Bakery. Shout out. To do homework. And then she goes home after school thinking it might not be so bad. And Ames is there. Ames.
Don't like that.
Prison. He's where he should be.
Yeah.
So she doesn't really want to sit down with them. But he's like, hello, stranger. Long time no see. Literally, like, every time he has a line of dialogue, it like goes through like, bless you.
Thank you.
It goes through like my whole body, just like, ooh, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. He gives off heebie-jeebie vibes for sure.
Yes. Like,
makes my skin crawl, honestly.
Yes. Like, this man is not safe to be around. Rah, 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 rah. So yeah, she's like, he gave me the creeps, but mom wanted me to sit down. So I sat down. He starts asking her, Mom and Ames are talking to her about school. And Ames is like, oh yeah, I went to Jackson for sophomore and junior year. And then I got expelled, basically.
I like how she says here on page 38 that, like, she really, like, he gives her the creeps and he hasn't done anything wrong. And so she, like, feels guilty about it. And I'm like, first of all, don't, like, trust your instinct, trust your gut. And she's like, I have nothing really to, like, point to. You know, her mom, she's saying, like, she doesn't want her mom to lose Ames because Ames is, like, this connection to Peyton. And so she's not going to, like, stir up stuff with this guy when she has, like, no concrete evidence that something is, like, wrong, so to speak. But I was just like, she's like, and nothing specific to point to, just a feeling. Everybody has those. And it's like, yes, and you should, like, trust them. They call it a gut instinct for a reason. And I'm not saying, like, all the time are they 100% right. But, like, if you have been hanging out with this guy a decent amount, it sounds like in the last over a year's time, and every time he's really giving you the creeps, I think you can trust that instinct at this point and not, like, feel guilty about it, you know?
Yeah. He gets really gross in these next two chapters.
Oh, also, yeah.
Also, he's, like, talks to their mom, like, calls her Julie and is like, remember what we were talking about? Like, he's Julie's, like, therapist. It's so strange. Like, such a weird dynamic.
For someone that is young, like, he's basically Peyton's age. It's very weird that someone is, like, literally could be her child is, like, kind of, like, mentoring her. I was like, that's an odd dynamic.
It's really strange. Yuck. Yeah, he's like, so now that mom's gone, like, how's it really going? And then this is when she's like, I felt a pang of guilt, but, you know, like, gotta do what I gotta do. She said that she used to consider her mom her best friend and tell her everything. They used to see things the same way until they didn't. And this is basically when Peyton started getting arrested, getting into trouble. She was very surprised to hear her mother defend him when he did the indefensible. And that's like a theme we see throughout the next two chapters and probably the whole book, is like, mom is incapable of, like, holding him to his very awful mistakes. And, Sydney is like,
is it because the brother's name is Peyton? Did you just have, like, a one tree hill, like, moment? Freudian slip.
Oh my god, I think so. Peyton Sawyer.
Peyton Sawyer. Oh, so good.
Shout out.
Peyton Sawyer.
Oh yes, she's flashes back to, like, the initial days before, or the days after the accident. She says all she could think about was this kid, a little younger than her, lying in a hospital bed. She said she was seeking out a lot of police reports to make sure, like, he was alive. She found out he was paralyzed and wouldn't walk again. And she says to her mom one day, like, shouldn't we apologize, like, in the paper or make a statement? And her mom is like, it's an awful thing that happened, Sydney, but the law is complicated. It's best if we just try to focus on moving forward. Okay. The first time I heard this, it made me think by the fourth or fifth, I saw it for the party line. It was exactly. I looked at David Ibarra and saw shame and regret. My mother only saw Peyton. From that point on, I was convinced that no matter what we looked at, our views would never be the same.
Yeah. I can't even, like, it's such an unfathomable thing. And I'm not saying that if your kid did something wrong, you wouldn't still love your kid. Like, it's your kid and you want the best for them.
Right.
But I can't imagine your kid doing something to hurt someone else and not feeling for that. Because, again, like, think, put yourself in their shoes. Like, what if Peyton had been hit by a drunk driver? Like, you would want,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, and I understand he's like, quote unquote, being punished for it by being in jail, but I just, it's weird to me that she never, and maybe she does, and she just doesn't want to talk about it with Sydney, but it's weird that she never thinks of this kid and has never tried to do anything for the family or reach out to them in any way. Like, I just can't imagine that.
Right.
And I can like totally relate to Sydney and it being like, I would just be like, that would constantly be on my mind. Like, I would be like, and it, like, it would be kind of almost like an obsession. Like, I need to know what's going on with this kid. And there's like nothing you can do. Like in her case, like if her parents don't want to get involved, like it's not like she can go up to this kid and be like, hi, my brother, like, what is she going to do? You know, like, and is right. that going to mean anything to this kid? But like, if her parents did something, if Peyton did something, like, I think that could mean something, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they should have said something, but she just really doesn't want to face the reality of like her son got drunk and paralyzed a 15-year-old. But then we flash back to Jackson. She's like, it's my fourth day of Jackson. Somebody slid next to her at lunch and she looks over and it's a guy in black glasses, jeans, and a vintage looking button down strumming on his guitar. And we can all picture it. We've all seen the Barbie movie. Yeah. And a few minutes later, Layla walks up and is like, oh, Eric, really? Oh, he's like, what? I'm practicing. And she's like, oh, please, you are not. You're running your tired game on this poor girl and it's not going to work because I already warned her about you. And so they kind of have this like little tiff where he's like, what the fuck? Basically, I'm not a predator. And she's like, whatever, just slide over. She said, I've been looking for you. I should have known Eric would find you first. He's got a nose for new blood. She's like, really just like, fuck this guy. Stay away from him. Yeah. And
I
love that.
I'm a spill the tea.
I love that. So she. Oh, Eric is in the same band as Layla's brother. They are playing Friday night at Bendo. Shout out. Free pizza if you get there early. She was surprised by this invitation because she doesn't have like, you know, she's so used to being Peyton's little sister that she's like not used to being Sydney, not Sawyer. Yeah. Her name is not Sawyer.
Sadly, it is not Sawyer. Yeah. Dang.
Unfortunately. And then she says, like, oh, and one more thing. Like, if you want company at lunch, we sit over there. And she and Sydney's like, okay. And Eric, she walks away and Eric's like, our band is not that bad. She just has high standards. And Sydney doesn't know what to say to this, but the bell rang anyway. So she just shuffles on over to class.
Oh, she got a little invitation. I think that's sweet.
Yeah, and he said she has high standards. And so Sydney's like, oh, well, I was thinking about was that he said Layla has high standards, but she invited me out. It's like, oh, yeah, girl.
Yes. See? Yes. The next, well, I don't know if it's the next day. If it's after school, whatever it is. But she's back at the old Fraser Bakery. Woo-woo. And she's with her friend, Jen, and she's basically trying to convince her to go to Benda with her. And she's like, I don't know, it's a nightclub. And Sydney's like, for the love of God, live a little. It's an all-ages music venue, but okay. And so she's like, I don't know. Like, we promised Mayor that we'd be at her meet. And she's like, it's 3 hours later. And so she's just trying to understand, like, you want, like, that comfort person. Like, you're like, ooh, a new person, like, wants to hang out with me. But, like, I don't want to show up by myself. And then, like, what if it's awkward? And so, but if you bring someone else, like, whatever. And so Jen's just, like, not having it, which is a real, like, meh. She explains that they come here sometimes when they didn't go to, like, the fancy pizza place. She talks about Dave, who offers her a coffee that apparently is going to hype up and keep her from having to pee, which, of course, we have learned about and what happened to goodbye. I love that Dave is here and we get a little appearance from him. I also love, like, okay, I understand that this is how these books work. and they, you know, take place in like you and Colby, and they all exist in the same universe. But truly, for some reason, in this book, it's hitting me because it seems to be running parallel with what happened to Goodbye. Because like Deb is in school, Deb is Dave is here, so it's like very like clearly happening at the same time. Then I'm just like, truly, what a beautiful world that like Sarah has created, because like it's so true to life. Like everyone is the main character in their own story, and like all these things, like all these things are happening at once. And I understand. That's how this has always worked. And the other day, I just really had, was that Andrew? I just really had a moment about it. And I was like, that's just honestly such a clever thing she's done. And it's so beautiful. And it's just like so true to life. And like, we're all doing it. Like we all have main character syndrome. We all are going through things. And so all this is happening. Like we know that something else is happening with them. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's crazy. And
I love it. Yeah. I do really like it as well. I like that this one is like running parallel. Yeah, parallel, because I feel like the other ones were like the
same time,
the future, yeah, like, or whatever.
Oh yeah, like you see these, you know, like obviously it's like Wes and Macy are together and they're like at, you know, World of Waffles or something, and you're like, oh yeah, good to see, like good to check on them, good to see if they're like still together. But it's nice that like these are happening at the same time for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, it just adds a certain like je ne sais quoi to it. But anyhow, so Jen keeps being like, why is this so important to you? And she's just like, you know, just like, it's not my thing, you know, whatever. And so then he's kind of like a little bit bummed that Jen's like not really feeling it. But you can tell that she like, this is important to her. Like she wants to go to this thing. She wants to do it. And so she decides that she's going to go alone to Bendo. And she's about to head out. And her mom stops her and asks her what she's doing. And she decides to lie because she's not even sure why. It's not something she usually does. But again, I think it's because this isn't her typical thing. And she's not hanging out with her typical friends, that she's worried that like her mom might be worried, I think. So she tells her that she's meeting Jen and Meredith at Frasier for dessert. I'll be back by 10, her normal curfew. And her mom and dad give her a little bit of pushback on this. They're like, no, you should come back at 9:30. And so Sydney's like, mom, like, seriously, my curfew has been 10. Like, why suddenly is it 9:30? And they're like, well, let's just do it this once and see how it goes. And then we'll reevaluate. And it's like, what? Okay, cool. So she's like, kind of, obviously very annoyed. Like she's like, I'm the one who's never done anything wrong, and now I get punished. Like I suddenly have to change my curfew. Like Peyton never like had this kind of thing, and he was the one who actually was getting into trouble. So I'm with her. I think it's justifiably that she is, you know, annoyed by that. So anywho, she heads on into Bendo. She says it's not exactly what she was expecting. It's a much like smaller space than she originally thought, which means it's a little harder to like blend in, like you're going to kind of stick out in a smaller space, obviously. And so she ends up, the first person she sees is Eric, and of course he like totally thinks that he like she's there for him. And she's like, oh, you know, I was intrigued. And he says, oh my god, he's so like pretentious. He's like, we're trying some new stuff tonight. We've been working on, it's a bit meta, so I'm hoping the crowd can keep up. And it's like, okay, cool, love that for you. And she's like, yeah, sure. So just then, so he's like, he just like keeps going on about like this band and what they're doing and how they're different, you know, not like other bands. And Layla comes in and saves the day. And she's like, oh my god, I'm so happy you came. And she's like, I'm going to get you out of here. Like, you don't need to talk to Eric anymore. He's so annoying. And yeah, like, he's like, I was talking. She's like, you're always talking. And she's my friend. I invited her. So Sydney is like, oh, okay. She kind of balks at this, like, oh, we're friends now. Okay. Like, I like barely know you, but like, that's nice of her to say. So my fan hit my pages and I lost my spot. Okay, here we go. So she heads over with Layla. Layla's like, oh, have you been here before? And she's like, you know, it's pretty good. Do you want like a slice of pizza? And she says, pizza is the key to this band's popularity. The thinking is if you feed them, they will come. And of course, Eric takes offense to this. And he's like, go for the music, go for the art. She's like, okay, keep telling yourself that. So they're eating some pizza. They're asking about, you know, like Jackson, like be honest, how was it? And this she kind of goes into, because Eric hasn't heard that she transferred from Perkins Day. I do like that even Eric, pretentious as he is like, oh, you were rich kid, because he's like, that's big money.
Yeah. It's like, wow.
It's like, wow, you come up, why? They're all like, why are you slumming it, basically, which is great. And so she's like, oh, you know, I just need change. And Layla's like, oh, no, like, that's great. Like, change is good. Just then she sees a girl a few years older than them coming in dressed in jeans, and she is pushing a wheelchair. Seated in is a woman in a velour tracksuit. She was the oldest person in the club by at least 20 years. And she, of course, when she sees the wheelchair, immediately thinks of David Ibarra. It's, you know, kind of one of her triggers, obviously. And she, you know, immediately thinks of the times that she's kind of looked up his information that she can find on, like, social media. So she said that, you know, despite my mom's party line, my knowledge of him and the need to recall it regularly was like my penance for what Peyton's had done, the sentence I'd been given. So she learns a little bit, like, she goes over, like, the things, the knowledge that she's gained from looking up his information, that he was just days past his 15th birthday when the accident happened. He was a soccer player. The accident crushed his spine, so he can use his upper body, but he is wheelchair bound. There's been a lot of fundraisers, community yard sales, trying to obviously get money to help the life that he now has to lead. And so, you know, like, these are the things. And she's like, I sought this out because I felt like I should, as if it might lessen the guilt, but it never did, which it's like, yeah, obviously. I like totally understand where her headspace is with it. And it's like, it's so not healthy to do, but I 100% understand the desire to do it, you know? And the fact that, yeah, it's not going to help. Like, it's not going to help or help, like, the situation or make you feel better about the situation. So we get introduced to who these people are that just came in, which is Layla's mom and her older sister, Rosie. We get a full introduction to Mac, who we've kind of met in the pizza shop, and we know that obviously he plays drums in the band. But he is quite a looker. She says, even more beautiful. Later she compliments, like, he's even more beautiful than Dave, which I was like, oh, I love Dave. He's a little cutie. So this guy must be a real looker. but yes. So she gets introduced to them. I love Layla's mom. Absolutely adore her. I can tell that already she's going to be like one of this, honestly, chapter. This book is, like, such a good culmination of, like, so many Destin. Because, like, I was saying before, it was giving me kind of Dreamland vibes, but also kind of, what was I comparing it to before?
Just Listen?
It's left me. Probably Just Listen. Probably something. I don't know. But then this chapter with, like, meeting this whole, like group of characters, and they're kind of being, like, a female mother figure that was going to kind of probably be, like, very wise and helpful in Sydney's journey. I was like, this is giving, like, Wish catering and, like, yes, Keep Forever vibes. And Julia's one of my favorite characters. And I can already tell that their mom is just fantastic. Like, she doesn't trust the DVR and she wants to get home for her life. Well, like, it sounds like almost like a true crime show, which I love that she's, like, so invested in this. And she just, like, eats cheese puffs and is amazing. She has MS, which is why she is wheelchair bound. She used to work in school administration, and she said, you know, she still would be. She absolutely loved it, but, you know, then she got sick. So that's when I learned about MS and just, like, how, like, open this family is about stuff. And obviously Sydney is, like, having the exact opposite, and, you know, like, everything so bottles up and kept secret. Like, I just love, like, we immediately find out that Rosie had issues with drugs. She apparently was the ice skater. Is that correct? I think we learn about. And then, yeah, the band starts playing. And we learn that Layla and Eric used to date. Layla definitely seems to be one of those people that, like, has bad taste in men. And which is also a little bit like what happened to Goodbye. With that one girl whose name I can't remember off the top of my head right now. I'm sorry, character, you're lovely, but I'm brain farting. But anywho, so they end up playing. So what the band is doing that's kind of meta is they're playing, like, old, like, pop hits, like teeny bopper hits with their version of it. So they play a Logan Oxford song. And so the girls are like, oh my God, like, I love these songs. And their band is called Hey Jude, which, love that for them.
Love that for them.
Dude. And so yeah, they kind of are going through, like, this medley of things. It's actually going over really well with the crowd. This is, from what we're understanding, probably, like, one of their best performances that they've ever had, which is great. This is where we learn that Rosie used to be a skater, and then she had an injury, which is how she ended up kind of getting into drugs, we end up finding out. So she's not skating. That seems to be a little bit of like a trigger for her. She doesn't really like this conversation. This girl comes up to her and she's like, oh my God, I used to skate the same rink as you. Like, where are you skating now? All this kind of stuff. And Rosie's like, not having it, which I can understand that being, as Miss Chatham says, a sensitive issue. Yeah, I could see that. So they're kind of going through the rest of the evening. And, oh, I do like this part on page 57 where Mrs. Chatham asked Mac about a cheese puff. And apparently we learned that Mac's on a little bit of like a health craze recently. And she's like, what? It's calcium. I love that. Like, that's fantastic. And so, yeah, so he's very into, I don't know, being healthy, apparently. So, yes, this is where Cindy says that he is better looking than Logan Oxford, which is her, like, major teen crush. Or, well, obviously, she's still, like, preteen crush, I guess. At his peak, and Dave and Fraser combined. So, yeah, she definitely is crushing on Mac, it seems. And then Mrs. Chatham's bringing up again, like, the time, which, of course, then points out to our girl, Sydney, that it's getting late. And she's like, oh, shoot, I have to get home at 9:30, which she kind of over-explains this whole situation and then is sort of embarrassed that she did. But everyone, like, seems pretty cool about it. And Mrs. Chatham's like, don't be a stranger. Like, come by the house anytime. Again, this family is, like, so open, so welcoming. They all seem very lovely. And they walk her out to her car, which they know a lot about. Apparently, their dad is really into cars. Layla says that you get a mandatory education. And once you know stuff, you can't not notice it. So they go out, and she's like, but seriously, stop at the house anytime. Like, we'll tell you all about your car, whether you want to know or not. Like, I'm sure you'll find out. And she races home, praying for green lights, pulling into the garage at 9:35. I went inside with my apologies ready, only to find the downstairs empty. My mom was already in bed. My dad shut away in his office on a call. I'd done the right thing. I always did. It just would have been nice if someone had noticed, which it's like, yes, yes. Your daughter is a good kid. But she's also like rightfully struggling. Like all of you are struggling. Like all of you went through a very traumatic event and no one is ever giving her any credit for the good things that she is doing or checking in on her whatsoever, like with how she is doing mentally. We're about to learn basically all the concern is strictly on Peyton. And I just want to take this mother and shake her a little bit. You are muted.
Also, the video is going to be crazy because my mic dropped. So I was like trying to signal to you that I couldn't hear you. So I'm like, ah! But you didn't see me. So
my bad. I was really in the zone. Well, I started doing some things around for a minute and I was like, oh, she's like getting something situated. And I didn't even like realize that you were trying to signal to me. I was like carrying on.
One thing I wanted to point out. First of all, I think that Mac is obsessed with his mom's diet because of her MS.
Yeah.
And then I love that when they're playing Logan Oxford, Rosie's like, I don't get it. And Mrs. Chatham is like, I believe that it is supposed to be an ironic take on the universality of the teen experience, but I might have that wrong. I will admit to a tuning out at some point. I thought that was very funny.
The amount of things she's probably had to hear from Eric about this, like, bless her, honestly. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like, again, we've just kind of, well, I guess at this point we've met the whole family, but briefly, because we met Dad at the pizza place, we've now met Mac and Layla. Layla we know probably the best at this point. We've learned a little bit about Rosie, and obviously we've just met Mom. They seem like a wonderful family, and I also thought, like, obviously, yeah, like, they're clearly all going through some things. Like, Rosie clearly is going through some things. Obviously, the whole family is dealing with her mom's MS diagnosis. I agree. I think Mac is kind of, like, really in, like, thinking about her diet and health conscious and stuff like that. Ooh, thumbs up. Because, you know, like, obviously he is concerned for her well-being because it's a very scary thing when, you know, a parent gets sick like that. So, yeah, it's I'm like, yes, Cindy, please go over to their house. I'm obsessed with them and I want to hang out with them and I want to learn more about them.
Yes, I know. Same. And yeah, of course, when she gets home at 9:30, like 9:35, nobody's even awake, as you said. Like, they, what was the point of even enforcing this random curfew? Mom, get your fucking shit together. Chapter 5, when she goes downstairs for breakfast on Monday morning, there's a flyer on the table that says family day, Saturday, September 20th at the jail that her brother is at. Sydney is like, Peyton doesn't want me there because when her brother was first sent to prison, he had to submit forms for who he wanted to visit him and who was allowed. So he filled out forms for mom, dad, and Ames, but not for Sydney. Sydney didn't, she says, Peyton said no, and he didn't want to see me, want me to see him there. And I was so, so glad. But mom is holding out hope. She's like, he's gonna want you there eventually. Like, we're just gonna go and like, it's just gonna be great. And she says she wanted me to be a part of this just as she wanted me to talk to Peyton when he called to collect and write him letters, both things that I resisted. I knew this made me a terrible sister, but I hadn't known what to say to my brother when he was sitting across from this very same breakfast table, much less locked away in prison. She's also still holding a lot of guilt for what happened to David Ibarra, which, yeah, they all should be, probably. She says that she's spoken to Peyton on the phone twice. The first time, she was the only person home when she answered the phone. So it was awkward, and they chatted. He says, you should write me a letter. And she's like, what the hell would I fucking say in a letter? And so she wraps the call up and they hang up and whatever. And then 10 minutes later, mom comes home and goes ballistic because she didn't keep Peyton on the phone for his entire allotted phone time. And she's like berating her and like yelling at her. And Sydney is just like feeling like she's going to start bawling her eyes out. And her mom's like, Sydney, I can't emphasize enough how important it is for your brother to have contact with the outside world. Even if you only talk about the weather or what you ate for lunch, just talk. Keep him talking until the phone is up. It's critical. Do you understand me? So she's like putting this like rule, like you have to, like she, he paralyzed someone.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's super valid for her to be like, I don't really understand how I'm supposed to love my brother and be there for him when he has done something like this. Like, this is unforgivable. And you know, like, she just
can't imagine, like, again, Sydney's kind of pointed out, like, she hasn't ever done anything wrong. And yet she's the one who keeps being punished in a sense. It's like, in their mom's eyes, she's like, she's yelling at her. And I would just want to be like, he hasn't a lot of time on the phone call, mom, because he's in prison. Like, he's the one who messed up here, not me. Like, how, like, I lose it.
like you need to hold space for like both of your children's feelings, even about, if they're contradictory. Like,
his mental state and his feelings. And I'm not saying that's not valid. Again, you can't stop loving your kid just because they did something wrong. I get that. But your other kid who is also struggling, who has done nothing wrong, feelings and mental state and her wishes should be acknowledged as well and respected as well. And it seems like that just goes out the window because we need to worry about what Peyton needs. And it's like, it's crazy.
Right. Like, Like, mom does not take what Sydney is going through seriously at all. Like, she does, she basically doesn't care. She just thinks Sydney's life is going on as normal, and it's like, obviously it's not, you know.
Like, everyone in this family has been through something, and mom acts like it's kind of just Peyton and her, and like everyone else is fine. Like, obviously they're fine, and it's like, nope,
definitely not. She's like, Peyton needs us, and it's like, well, Sydney needs you, so
So do you feel about that? I don't know. It's a little bit.
But then she says the second time she talked to Peyton, she came home from having coffee with Jen, and Ames was in her house on the phone with him for some godforsaken reason. And when she walks in, He goes, "Your gorgeous sister just walked in." "Yep. Oh, don't worry. I'm keeping the boys away from her. They'd better think twice before they come around our girl."
I literally wrote on that paragraph, puke and yikes. And that's how I feel about it.
Like, you can see that the neglect is fucking real because nobody is seeing, like, this creepy, yes. Like, Layla saw him for what he was in chapter one, the first time she saw him outside of the bathroom. And it's like, you guys are so obsessed with Peyton. Like, you're not thinking, like, literally about her at all. Like, also, it's like, so crazy.
If I'm Peyton and this guy just talked to my sister like that, I'd be like, "I'd like you to exactly. not be left alone with my sister anymore. Could you please leave the house right now?" is what I would say. Like,
right. Ugh. Exactly. Like, that's the neglect part, is they're like not even seeing it.
How do any of these people in this family think that this behavior is okay? That this guy is okay? That, like, just, yeah. I mean, it's fucking creepy. It's just pure neglect on their part, I guess. 100%.
Yeah. But yeah, she talks to him. She's like not loving it. And then the tone sounds saying that the call is going to terminate. And he says, "I better go tell mom I love her." And it's like, okay, what about your sister?
Right.
Like, what about anybody else? Like again, this is, it's just like over and over again. It's like relentless. They just, Sydney is like, afterthought. And Ames is like, "He sounds good, right?" And she was like, "He didn't really sound like anything, not even Peyton. Like, he paralyzed someone. He's probably also like, you can't just like, hey, he sounds great." It's like, yeah, well, he paralyzed a kid. So how like, good is he really doing? You know,
I think that's kind of fuck with you a little bit, just saying.
Yeah. But she was like thinking, oh my God, our phone conversations were so awkward. And now this family day is going to be face to face. Like, she does not want to go. She is like, I do not want to do this. Like, she's like, is dad going? And mom's like, if he's in town, otherwise it'll just be you, me, and Ames, which, like, please leave Ames at home. Please.
For the love of God.
And so Sydney is trying to express some, like, very valid concerns here. Like, I don't really want to go. I'm worried I might freak out. And her mom's like, freak out. And she's like, Sydney's like, well, it's kind of scary. And like, yes, because Sydney is 17. Like, mm-hmm. going to an adult jail probably is scary. And like, she's already dealing with so many other things. So she's like, it's kind of scary. And her mom's like, it is. But it's very scary for your brother who's locked away alone with no support system. It's like, okay, but it's his consequences of his own actions.
He did that. Like, that's on him. He decided to drive drunk and hit a kid. I mean, obviously he decided to hit a kid, but he decided to drive drunk, which then means you make that decision, you pay the consequences.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I'm sure he is scared in jail, but like, why is he in jail, mom? Because of himself. She's acting like he's like, we need to be there for him because he's like locked away unfairly, basically. And it's right. Like, that's not what happened here. And she's like, mom. And he's like, if he can deal with that for 17 months, I think you can handle being slightly uncomfortable for a couple hours. Don't you agree? And so she's basically giving Sydney no choice. Like, she's like, no, you're going and you're going to like it because he really needs us. Again, not at all thinking about how this is affecting her at all. And it's just crazy.
And it's just, like, I was fuming when I read that. I think you can handle being slightly comfortable with a couple hours. Don't you agree? Fuck you. I'm going to say that with a hard F. Like, literally, what? I can't. Mm-hmm. And again, like, even this conversation could have happened. Like, even if you did think that, like, he really needs support and whatever, like, if your daughter's coming to you and voicing a concern about how she wouldn't want to do it and how it's making you feel uncomfortable and whatnot, why wouldn't your first thing be like, okay, we're going to check in with you and see how you're doing, and we're, like, I'm going to be concerned about you for a minute. And then maybe later, once you kind of understand and, like, quell her concerns and whatever, you could be like, I get that. And I think your concerns are valid and you get the right to say no. And if you don't want to go, I'm going to respect that wholeheartedly, but let's put the shoe on the other foot. Like, I'm going to explain to you like why it's important for me to go and why it's important for your brother to go. But again, you get the final say. Like, if, and again, that's hours from now. You maybe have that conversation when you've calmed her down and you've checked in on her state of being. Not right then and there, just be like, well, you can handle it because he has it worse. And it's like, he has it worse because he made that decision. Like, he made those choices and he is being properly punished for it. Like,
right.
As he should be. I don't understand. She did not make these choices. Like, none of this is on her. So exactly. She should not be the one punished for it. Like,
exactly. Ugh. Exactly. Yeah. Her mom is treating her like she's doing something wrong. And it's like, I literally wrote in all caps, I'm like, he paralyzed someone.
Yeah.
Like,
how are you not seeing that? And how are you not, like, seeing how the effects that's having on anyone besides, first of all, first and foremost, the kid he paralyzed, never taken his thoughts and feelings into concern, ma'am.
Right. Ruined, like, well, changed his life completely.
Yeah. Like, I just, this mother.
God, it's so disturbing. It's just, it's really, really, I'm like fuming for Sydney, really.
Yeah.
Like, besides the fact that mom is like, and dad is a decent dad, he's like not around. He, like, beyond that, like, I'm so mad because beyond like the ignoring what she feels about what her brother did, like, it is so irresponsible for them to have aims around her. So, yeah. So then she's at school and Jen calls her. She's walking to lunch, which is what she does. She calls her and she puts her on speakerphone with Meredith and they chat. But they heard something in Sydney's voice and they're like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, why? And she's like, you just don't sound like yourself. And she's like, yeah, it's just noisy here. And Meredith said, good Lord, how do you even concentrate? And she says, I'm just walking to lunch. It's not that mentally challenging. And then she realizes that she was kind of mean to them, which also, like, I mean, I guess, I don't know. My, like, my neurodivergent brain is like, I mean, she's just being like, I'm just like, I don't know. Anyway, I don't think it's that serious, but I think she's like,
she handled it pretty well, but apparently Meredith gets butthurt.
Yes. They both get very offended. So she hangs up and she's like, I'm sorry. Let me call you guys back later. And now Mare is like clearly like very upset. And she's like, great. So now this is going to be, now it's about her being upset. Great. So she glance over to where Layla ate, but the benches were empty. So she gets a grilled cheese and a drink, sits down on the wall, and then Googles David Ibarra, which she hasn't done in a while. she used to do this daily. She found out a lot of stuff about him, like his nickname was Brother, because according to one of the many articles, after the accident, he treated everyone like family. His name popped up on video game forums. He's really good at War World. He was strong on defense and soccer. His Yumi profile was private, but there was an open page dedicated to him called Friends of Brother, which was maintained by his sister. This is where she'd gotten most of the info about his recovery and fundraisers and stuff. So she's like kind of scrolling through, reading all the comments, you know, so proud of you. Like, you're a hero, sending good wishes. Like, we love you, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, so many times I imagined leaving a comment. Like, so many times she's been like, again, the day after, she was like, shouldn't we be saying something to them? You know, so she's still thinking, like, shouldn't we be saying something to them? Like, shouldn't we be apologizing? But she's like, but it's not going to make sense coming from me. Like, they don't want that kind of thing on this page. Like, my last name is too much for them. And then she says that at the top of that page, there's like a little blurb about what the page is. And it says, in February 2014, David Ibarra was hit by a drunk driver while riding his bike home from his cousin's house, leaving him partially paralyzed. This page is dedicated to his story. Please leave a comment. We see pages like this, you know, all the time. We know what these look like, unfortunately. Then she flashes back to what happened with her mom that morning. And then she, oh yeah, I spelled to cancel out what happened this morning with my mom. She says there had been no shortage of bad moments in those weeks after Peyton's accident. But one that really stuck with her is a passing remark her mother made. She overheard her parents talking in the kitchen and her mom was like, what was a 15-year-old doing out riding his bike at 2 a.m. anyway? And dad is like, Julie. And she's like, I just wonder. Oh. What is your son doing drunk driving? Like, what do you mean?
I was like, oh, we're that person. We're fit. I was like, oh, Julie is the person who every time a black person gets shot by the police is like, well, why weren't they? Da-da-da? Well, why did they go into the convenience store? Why were they wearing a hoodie? Why were they? Da-da-da? Doesn't fucking matter. They shouldn't have been shot by police. I don't care. I don't care what they were doing. That's not the point of the story. And she is that person. And I was like, oh, she's one of those. Like, oh. I just wonder. I don't wonder because he's the victim in this. And it doesn't matter. I don't like, are you really judging his parents for letting him out at that hour when your son did that? Like, oh, I can't. Yeah. I literally, if I heard, like, oh, this mom makes me want to scream. I was like, she is that, like, privileged white lady. Like, she just, it's just unfathomable to her that her little precious, you know, like little angel child could do something bad, and so she's gonna find blame in anywhere but him. And it's just, ugh, yeah,
it's delusional. Yeah. And it makes me extremely mad. Like, I don't know, I just like can't put myself like in her headspace at all, because her headspace is just like so far. Like, there's no basic compassion for this kid at all. Like, it is, yes, all about my precious baby. He's, yes, in jail. This is awful. We need to take care of him.
And maybe, like, deep down, maybe she is constantly racked with guilt, and maybe she does feel guilty for, you know, having a hand in raising this person who did this thing and whatever. But yeah, none of that has been expressed out loud. So what I have seen so far, I can't sympathize with this woman whatsoever. I'm like, Julie, check yourself. Like, what?
Yeah.
How is your brain, like, making those conclusions? I can't imagine, like, at all.
Yeah. In this part, this would stand out to me a lot too. Like, this would be something I would never be able to forget or probably forgive. Yeah. Is Julie being like, what was a 15-year-old doing riding around on his bike? Like, oh my, yeah, God.
Yeah, she says. And it is. It's just, oh God, it's so like, why are you wearing that skirt? Why are you? The victim is never the one to blame in this scenario. Like, what? And she says, like, that was the moment I realized my mom would never be able to really hold Peyton responsible for what he'd done. Their bond was too tight, too tangled for her to see reason. Like, anyone deserved to be hit by a car and paralyzed. Like, he was asking for it. For days afterward, I had trouble even looking at her. And I was like, yeah, I would too. That's, yeah, because she is. She's acting like he was that, like, if he hadn't put himself in that situation to be on the road for my son to hit, he'd like, what?
Right.
Crazy. That's crazy. Can't fathom.
I can't fathom. So while she's in her revelry, Layla walks up and sits down next to her and she's like, what's wrong? And then out of nowhere, she's just like, my brother's in prison for drunk driving. He left a kid paralyzed and I hate him for it. And Layla is like, she immediately feels like a little bit better just saying that. And Layla's like, so there's this thing about me. I never forget faces. So I was the one that saw you in the courthouse that day. And, you know, I like kind of knew something was going on. And she's like, Sydney's like, you didn't say anything. And she's like, well, it tends to creep people out. So like, I kind of don't bring it up. And she says, you know, why were you at the courthouse? Oh, no. Sydney asked Layla, why were you at the courthouse that day? And she was with Rosie because Rosie has to check in every now and again. Because after her knee injury, she got addicted to Vicodin. Again, tale as old as time. Pharmaceutical companies getting these children addicted to drugs, ruining their life. Like, I can't tell you. Like, I'm feeling very sensitive today, obviously, but I can't count on it would take me more than two hands, I guess, to say, to count how many kids I know who overdosed. And a lot of that started with pain pills from sports accidents. And like, I've just seen so many kids just go down such a dark path, like after an injury. And it's like, again, like all of this is like
them up for failure for sure.
Yes. Like all of this is preventable. All of this is something we can treat and like improve upon. So like future generations aren't plagued by this. Anyway. So she tried to pass off some fake prescriptions, but she got arrested. So she was on house arrest for a little while, and she has to check in every so often to make sure she's like not like hurting herself. But Layla says like, she's like, it's her own stupid fault. It's so infuriating. She had everything going for her and she blew it. So they're kind of like relating on like our siblings had everything and they just fucked it up. She's like, that's like my brother. He had so many chances, but he kept getting into trouble anyway. And then the accident. She says he'd been sober for over a year, doing really well. And then one night, for no reason that we can figure out, he got drunk and behind the wheel, hit a kid riding his bike. The kid is in a wheelchair now forever. And she talks about it. She's like, I think about him all the time. And Layla's like, of course you do. Anyone would. Like, yes, correct, Layla. Yeah. And she's like, and my mom, it's like she can't see what Peyton did for what it is. She just worries about him and how he's doing. And my dad doesn't talk about anything. And now she wants me to visit him. And I don't want to at all. We got in a fight about it this morning. And Layla's like, well, you shouldn't go if you don't want to go. Just tell your mom you're not ready, which is, again, like, so fair. Like, yes, this, exactly.
So reasonable.
Yes. And she's like, I really hate him right now. I don't really know if I'll ever want to see him. Like, and it just feels really good for her to finally have someone to talk to and, like, get all of this out. She says, like, the reason she couldn't talk about this stuff with her old friends is because they had preconceived notions about, like, their bias towards Peyton because they knew Peyton and they know the whole situation. Whereas Layla only, you know, she doesn't know any of the people involved. So she's taking it like we're taking it, which, like, of course you hate him. Of course you don't want to see him. You know, like, so anyway, yeah. She says two girls walked by in field hockey uniforms laughing. And she says happy and normal lives going on in happy, normal ways in a world that was anything but. Once you realize this, experience something that made it crystal clear, you couldn't forget it, like a face or a name. However you first learn that truth, once it's with you, it never really goes away. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm so happy that she finally was able to find like a safe space, like a safe person to get these very valid feelings out. And I do understand like where she's coming from saying like I can do it to her because she doesn't have those preconceived notions, because what she says is I've always loved my brother but I hate him right now. And I think that both of those things can be valid, but I do understand that saying that to someone who knows him, like your mom, who's Julie she might not understand. But I think that's such a valid feeling to have. I think you can love someone and also just be so disappointed in them, be hate them, be so annoyed at that they hurt someone, that they hurt you, that they hurt, you know. I think those are such valid feelings and they're very complicated feelings, especially for someone who is 17 years old to be experiencing. So yeah, I can understand why she hasn't voiced them to anyone yet. But when she just like blurted that all out, I like literally like fist bump like when I was reading it the other night. So I was like, yes, say it, get it out. Like that's exactly what you deserve to be able to do, is like speak those feelings and those truths. But yeah, y'all, this book, it's getting me riled up. It's heavy. It's so good, but it's very, very heavy. And this episode, I feel like, was very heavy.
Yes. Sorry, y'all.
Yeah, sorry, y'all. It's gonna be like when we read Dreamland. It's just gonna be heavy stuff.
Yeah.
So take care of yourself. Skip if you have to. We understand. But yeah, I'm very much enjoying reading it. It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. And there's a lot going on right now as well in the world. So first and foremost, everyone take care of yourselves. Do something that makes you feel calm, you know, at least once a day. Try to get your blood pressure down. I know it's hard, trust me. But, you know, unplug for a little bit if you can and just take care of yourselves, because you can't, you can't fill a glass from an empty cup or something like that. So,
yes, I believe that's how that saying goes. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, yes, now more than ever, take care of yourselves. We should be here on Thursday with chaos. We should, but just bear with us. Again, I think the storm's going to be pretty south of us, but so we should all be good and safe here. I just want everyone to be safe. Okay, sorry, I'm falling down a whole spiral again. I apologize. But yes, so we should be here. Hopefully we can bring a little joy, a little levity on Thursday to kind of balance out the sadness of Tuesday's episode, I guess. But yeah, we'll see you hopefully and be able to talk to y'all on Thursday. And we'll be back next week with more Saint Anything. Until then, yeah, find your happy place, find your zen. I was just like listening to the my Apple Music the other day on the way to work, as you do, and I had TTPD on shuffle, and The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived came on, and I texted my client because, like, literally as I was sitting there listening to it, I was just like, we saw this live. Blows my mind all the time. I was like, we saw this happening live, and it was amazing. So whatever you need to do, listen to a happy podcast, listen to some good music, watch a comfort film. I'm a big believer in like watching like turn your brain off films when times are tough. So do that, and we will chat soon.
Bye.